Good to have you with us today, 2025. Obviously, weather, we're going to get through winter, right? It's always good to get through winter, but it is good. If you can go to the men's conference, guys, it's worth it. I think that $59 is three meals. I think it's that night, but I could be wrong. But at least it's going to cover breakfast and lunch the next day, but probably, I think, Friday night as well. And it's well worth it. Plus, it's a great time to hang out as men and just, fellowship and get to know one another. And we've went every year for the last several years, and it's always impacted our lives. And you know what? It really helps strengthen the church. If the men is strong, it's a strong church. We need our men to be strong and need to be leaders in the community and all of that. And so we love that. So we're starting 2025, and we talked last week, just at the end of last year. Seems just a year ago I talked to you. We talked about speak your future, and we talked about that. Today, as I promised, we're going to talk about first words. And so we want to welcome our online campus and those that are joining us online, and God bless you guys. We've had all kinds of calls coming from all over Ohio and some from out of the state that are traveling for Brother Chad coming at the end of the month. And so it's actually even on the answering machine at the church now, so we're just saying that's coming up. So we look for a pretty packed crowd for those 2 days. We want God, don't you? And we just want, we want to rub shoulders with people that are rubbing shoulders that way. And so we're excited to have Chad with us, so we're... I've got people from actually Pastor Gary's church. They're like, okay, what time do the doors open? We have people that are going to be coming again from New Albany. And I know some, I think we got calls from West Virginia and different places that follow him online and always coming to Ohio. We had one lady call and say, thank you. Okay. But that's all good. And we're excited about that. And I'm glad that we can be of help. We're just listening to the Lord and trying to get everything in line with what he says. This is going to be a great year for the church. We're going to be doing more hands-on, more planning, more things to get things done. Just to give you a quick rough idea as we start 2025. In the next month or so, I'm going to be presenting. Basically, we're going to be starting to work on our first phase, which is a new entryway. I don't know if you know it. If you come in that entry door, that was both of those. One of them's cracked. We don't even use it. Because if you open it, sometimes we can't get it shut. So we try to keep it shut. And then so we use the one door, and we have just basically the pull the pin system, that kind of thing. So we want to redo that and get just a very attractive entryway that'll kind of make the church stand out a little bit. We'll be looking at the parking lot, and then we'll be looking at Kidstown as well. But in those phases, as we start that, we're gonna raise the money. That's what we're gonna do. There's no secret about it. That's how things happen. God is our provider, and He'll use His people to provide for the kingdom. And you'll know what's happening and what we've raised and all of that stuff. But we'll be getting that information to you. So we are going to be remodeling these two bathrooms. You know, I keep saying that, but life happens to everybody, and there's just, with weather and different things, I have to just go with the flow. That's what we're doing. We're just letting them, it is going to happen. They are going to pick up the stuff, and they will get remodeled. So that's part of the thing coming as well. And you've already given into that, so we're excited about that, getting things started. So let's talk about first words, can we? Let's talk about why that is so important. What is the first thing that you say when you get bad news? What's the first thing you say when you get good news? Sometimes it's easier to respond to good news. Hey, here's $50. Thanks. What are the first things that we say? Because sometimes we just think it doesn't matter, but it does. It does. The power of first words can really be our defeat, or it can be our victory. What we say, we put things in motion. Now, understanding that it just isn't, there's people that say a lot of things that have no power. You know what I mean? I mean, they're just words to them. A lot of what brings power with what you say is what you believe. Somebody say, it's what I believe. It's what I, if I line up with the Word of God and I believe God to be true and I say what He wants me to say, and I believe that I have done. When I say done, let me read. Do you know in the kingdom, Jesus already did it. This isn't a works mentality. I don't have to do things. I mean, faith without works is dead, right? But it has to be under the kingdomship of God, under the authority of Him. It's not based on, Jesus has already done it, whether I do it. Yes, there's things I have to do because that, yeah, if I want lights on, I'm going to have to turn a switch. I get it. But the power source has already been created. You understand? The action to turn the switch on, that's up to me. I can sit in the dark or I can get the lights on. So that's what I'm talking about. This is about what we believe and what we declare. First words. What are the first words that come out of our mouth? I'm going to focus a little bit on negative, not because I'm negative, but I have t-shirts on that. Well, I don't really have t-shirts, so that's probably not true, but I've done that myself, so you know what I'm saying. In a crisis, we often say things without thinking. I don't know if you ever do that. I've done that. It seems like what I preach on, I get to practice it a lot before I preach it. I mean, I just got my barn back. We've been in this house for several months now, but I haven't been able to use my barn because the other gentleman is wonderful. His stuff was stored in there, and he has been so kind, and he was trying to get it out as quick as he can. Well, he got it all out. Saturday, it was all gone. Or Friday. Friday, it was all gone. And so I'm like, hallelujah. I mean, because I feel like it's officially my barn. So I am taking stuff out of the wall, screws and stuff. I can't tell you how many times I was on a ladder and I wanted to put something up on the wall or take something out and I dropped it. And the first word that wants to come out of my mouth isn't, oh, thank you, Jesus. It is like, I said stuff like, are you kidding me? You know, when you're by yourself, you can get mad and nobody else really knows it. My dog was in there. She's probably like, he's like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, and then for a while, a couple times, I'm like, why don't you drop another one, Brett? Guess what happened? Thank you very much. So I got, you know, I feel like the Holy Spirit, I'm doing that, and he says, why are you saying that? And I thought, it's time for a lesson, isn't it? So now, did I drop it any less? Not in the beginning. But did I change what I said? I did. I was like, thank you, God. I get more exercise. And then I would do that. And, you know, after a while, I was kind of laughing at, you know, just some of the I got to be entertainment for heaven. I really do. But aren't we so many times when things happen driven by emotions? We say things without even thinking. We're just venting. It's in the heat of the moment. We're mad. They hurt us. I'm going to hurt them back. Most of the time, it's before we actually get a grip to stand back and rethink situations. Ever been there? I've been there. And it's just, you know, what is God saying? Why are we not declaring the things that He wants us to declare? You know, this is a true statement. Whoever you hang out with rubs off on you. You start hanging out with God, guess what rubs off on you? God. The more I hang out with God, the less problems I have. Because I don't have to say things like, are you kidding me? Or, I mean, don't you want to just say Judas's name? Judas! He's not even around anymore. But just, God, if I hang out with you more. So, you know, I went and I'm like, I got my phone there. So I put Carmen, which is my, you know, I love that. So I put Carmen on. And so I'm where now I got praise music going on. And so now I'm praising and I'm out there doing stuff. And no matter what's happening, it's not affecting me because I'm hanging out with someone that doesn't move by effect. He's not moved by circumstances, situations, symptoms. He's forever the same. Man, isn't that great to see? Have you ever met somebody that seems like they're always happy? I love that. I mean, it's better than, you know, here's my friend, Sourpuss Pete. You know, you don't want that. But somebody that's always happy is just like, they just almost, my mom back in the day was so much like a Pollyanna. She would just, you could say anything, well, and you know, this is what she'd say. I'd be sweating. Back in our day, my dad, he's happy if I say this, so this is okay. So, Dad, if you're watching, here's for you. He's like, I want people to know how cheap I was, or I am. Let me just say that, because he's still with us, and praise the Lord, I'll believe he'll be with us as long as he can, as long as, maybe we'll go in the rapture. How about that? Okay? So, anyway, you know, but back in the day, he had an air conditioner in his room, but me and Sis, Crunch, you go up the steps, her room was straight ahead. You had to turn left about 4 steps, turn left again, go down about 8 or 10 steps. My room's clear down the hall. The bathroom is in between my room. And my mom would take a floor fan and set it where it would kind of be like this if it had to go in Crunch's room, and it had to ricochet off like 85 walls to get to me. And I got sweat coming down. And I'd go to my mom, Mom, I'm sweaty, I'm hot. And this is what she'd say, think cool thoughts. If you think cool thoughts, it'll be fine. You won't be sweaty anymore. So I went back to my room, and I'm thinking, you think like you're playing in the snow? Maybe that's why I like Christmas. I don't know. Think like you're playing in the snow, and you won't be hot anymore. I'm thinking I'm building a snowman. I'm sledding. Ain't working. Go back. Here, this is what happened. I'd go back, and my sister had taken the fan and then put it in her room. It's all blowing on her. Moo-ah. In heaven, I'm having my own fan. Anyways, cool off situation. What you say. How do we solve problems like that? Most of us would say this. It's natural. That's just natural. And that's how most people respond. And that's probably a true statement, but listen to what I'm saying. That should be our first warning sign. If it's natural, and that's the response, that's probably a flesh response. And it's probably the wrong one. Because if we just respond to how our flesh is, I don't know about you, but my flesh has led me down the wrong road. I cannot respond that way. I have to respond to my spiritual connection. Brett, is it a big deal? Here's the short answer. It is a big deal. And here's why. So this is our first point. There's only three this morning for first words. First words set spiritual laws in motion. That's number one. When we say the first thing, it sets things in motion. Matthew 12:37, by your words you'll be justified, and by your words, it's not saying his, it's saying yours, your words will be condemned. So it says, for your words will justify us, or our words will condemn us. Like it or hate it, believe it or not, words matter. Life and death is in your mouth. God's designed it this way. They bring results. One way or other. That's the spiritual law. So Proverbs 18:21, and I don't think we have all these, so I just thought I just did a brief of this. The tongue has the power of life and death. That's what I just said. Mark 11:22-24 says that whatever we have is what we say. We'll have what we say. Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his lips guards his life. And that's just a short sample. There's so many. I mean, we'd be here all afternoon. The Bible is full of warning about what we say, wrong words, because God knows they have power. That's why we have the power to bind and loose. We have the keys to the kingdom, and we activate. Faith is voice activated. Unbelief is voice activated. The first words that humans ever heard were this: be fruitful, multiply, fill up the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth. His first words to men were blessing and empowerment. That's what he wants for you and I. We've just taken things, well, that's just how it goes. We've just let the earth curse system teach us, well, this is just what happens when you get this age. This is just this. This is just, what does God say about that? According to the Bible, Moses, when his eyes weren't dim, he climbed a mountain. I mean, he's like 120. He didn't even do anything till he was 80. I want that. I want to be strong like that. I watched just a snippet of Ninja Warrior. Ever seen that? Saw me on it, didn't you? Figured. I watched a guy, he was 70. And you know, it's one of those, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to watch this or not. And then he comes out there, and he's 70. And I'm like, oh, I'm watching this. Because I want to see him. And he's got on, it looks like a pair of, it looks almost like sleep bottoms. But I don't know. I mean, not that that's a big thing. I guess if they make you move easy, apparently you can walk freely at Walmart in those. But he's got a pair of them on. And he comes out, and he starts crushing it. He doesn't make it. I mean, he didn't get enough momentum on one thing, and he ended up falling in the water. But, I mean, he got to one point, he does it, gets up, and everybody's cheering. Why are they cheering? Because it's not the normal. Everybody's like, he gets through the next one, and he rips off his shirt. And he's in shape. You know? I mean, he doesn't look bad. And people are like, yeah. And I'm thinking they're like, go, Grandpa. I mean, I don't know. And he finally, you know, he doesn't make it. But, you know, he comes up out of the water, and he's happy. And he's just like, and I know I'm sitting there going, God, that's awesome. You know, Kim knows people and knows of people that are in their 90s. And you would never know it. They don't look like they're in their 90s. They do everything. Their minds are good. They are walking. They're doing great things. They're just, you know, they're busy. Why? There's something about what we're talking about today. They see themselves in a different light. I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to be able to say things that he wants me to say. And, you know, Jesus was like that, wasn't he? If you've heard me, you've heard the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Remember the story of Jairus and his daughter? Jesus was showing Jairus this same kind of thing. So Jairus is facing this mountain. His daughter's sick, and he already knows. I know. Nothing is helping. I can get to Jesus. He's been heard of to heal people or whatever. I'll get to him. And he makes his way, and he finally gets to him. And that's in the whole thing with the woman with the issue of blood and all that. That's all happening. And you know, and so his mountain is, I got to get my daughter well. In the midst of that, news comes his daughter is dead. She's died. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Now, this is what I'm bringing out, because Jairus could have said a lot of things. I mean, he could be upset. He could. I'm just saying, I've been there and done that, and I wish I would have responded different. Because I believe if I would have known what I know now and responded different, I would still have another son. Our first son was a stillborn. I remember holding him, and I didn't know what I know now. I remember putting the doctor up against the wall off the ground because he was telling me, there's nothing I can do. And I don't remember what I was telling him, but it wasn't probably nice first words. It wasn't cursing or anything like that, but I was upset. Anyway, Jairus could have said a lot of things. Jesus heard it, and he quickly stopped him. He quickly cautions him, saying, that's what I love about Jesus. This is all an earshot of what he hears. Because remember, he laid his deity down, and now he's God in the flesh. But Jesus knows Jairus is going to be tempted to speak something else. And he also knows about spiritual laws being set in motion. So this is what he says, Mark 5:36. The Bible says this. This is what the Bible says. This isn't Brett saying this. The Bible says this. As soon as, turn to your neighbor and say, as soon as. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he heard the report. He said to the ruler of the synagogue, he's talking to Jairus now, do not be afraid, only believe. Now, PK just came up with a word to our core leaders today and said, do not fear. And I'm thinking, she doesn't even know what I'm going to be saying. You see, but Jesus knows the report. And so he turns to him and says, eh? Have you ever had somebody go, eh? I want, eh? Jesus said, remember, don't be afraid, only believe. The Bible doesn't record Jairus saying anything. I think that's awesome. I mean, it'd be nice if you could hear Jairus say, I got it, okay, whatever you say. But he doesn't say, so obviously, I mean, can you imagine Jesus saying, nip it? The original Don Knotts bud nipping started right there. But he knew that what was critical to the outcome of the situation, I never looked at it like that before. Who has authority in the little girl's life? Somebody say, Dad. Jesus couldn't do things. And Mark, if you look in other places, he wanted to do stuff, but he couldn't because of their unbelief. So Jairus is key. Come on. He's saying, hang on, hey. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes we don't have to say everything we feel, do we? Because if we do, that's not good. Jairus, I'm sure, was going through, oh man. You know, and what's going in his mind, what he can picture, but he's got to stay centered. And this is what happened. We know this in that situation. The daughter was raised from the dead. Jesus comes in, he takes his key disciples with him. Jairus, people are laughing at him. She's not dead, she's asleep. But it started when Jesus said, I'll come with you. Remember what we said. Don't be afraid, just believe. What about you? What would your first words be if you got a bad report? Maybe from the doctor. Maybe not from the doctor. Maybe just from your job or whatever. Oh, we found out the freezer went out or this or that. I found myself at different times saying, have you ever said this? I've heard people say this. I've done it before, but I don't do it anymore. Try to make it a practice. Well, it's always something. I don't want to say that. I mean, unless I'm saying it's always something good. But my reference when I'd said that before wasn't that. Oh, I had somebody tell me one time, I'm just waiting on the other shoe to drop. Wow. No matter what is going on, what's our response? If Jesus then, he's walking with Jairus. Now he's walking with you. He lives with you. Is he changed? Hebrews 13:8 says he doesn't change. So I would say to you that Jesus would say, don't be afraid. Only believe. 12 of Matthew 37 says, for by your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. If your first words don't line up with what you want to see come to pass, then you're putting the wrong law in motion. And you're setting yourself up for the enemy's playground just to make a heyday with your brain. And that's what he does, because it starts between your ears. What's your first words? How much easier it is to get the right spiritual law going if we would just do it. We get that in motion, the first words we speak. Because you can't pull them back, can you? It's hard to rein back in. I mean, yes, we have, I'm sorry. Sometimes people use that because that's the magic word. And how many know sometimes sorry isn't always... Yeah, I get it if you're truly sorry, but sometimes we're just sorry. If we would get the right things out, we don't have to pull them back. It's kind of like squeezing the toothpaste out of the tube. You can't get it back in. You can try. But once it comes out, it's hard to get back in. Sometimes there's time and all of those things that get involved in whatever. Here's number two. First words establish where you stand. First words establish where your faith is at. What you believe and or what you believe is going to happen. That's important about first words. As far as you're concerned, if you're speaking first words like that, you believe it's already happened. You haven't seen it yet, but it's already happened. Mark 11:23, assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, are you whoever? Be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Your first response in the situation, anger, fear, resentment, sadness, that's what the world does. It's nice to be rubbing shoulders with somebody that says something that you go, I didn't see it like that. Okay. Because you can't get to the next level if you're just so consumed by everything in the past. 2025 is a great time to say, you know what? I'm getting a new start. Because according to the word, his mercies are new every morning. His grace is sufficient. If I start walking and I make a conscious effort, because my spirit, when I accepted Christ, is connected with God and I am identical, I have the mind of Christ, then you can do this. You can get your first words to say, God, help me to say what you'd say. My wife is great at this. I'm not saying she's perfect or anything like that. But if it gets me more points, I will. But I'm not saying she is. She will say things like, you know, we'll be in the drive-thru. And I don't mind a drive-thru, but usually if you have more than a few people in your car, they'll want to go to more than one certain drive-thru. I just want to go to one. If I got to go to the drive-thru, can't we all just do one-stop shopping? You know? And then sometimes I'm thinking, I just want to get home, but then we know, thank you. We know at home, there you go. We know at home, we haven't got food yet, or we didn't buy groceries, so we're not sure what we're going to fix. Da-da-da-da-da. How many have ever had that scenario? So the drive-thru is kind of a good option. But then you go in the drive-thru and you just want to get home, and you wait. And it's not moving. It's like being in line at the license bureau. Somebody just move a little so I get the illusion that the line is going up. But it's not moving. And then I'm in the car and I'm like, oh, I just wish this line would move. See, I am not a perfect pastor. I'd be like, just pay for it already. And my wife will say things like, it's going to move quicker than ever. We're going to get up there in no time. These people are going to get their order done. It's going to be great. It's going to be right away. But you know, if I start getting in agreement with that, guess what happens? The line starts moving quicker than ever. First words. It sets the pace and the tone. What she's trying to say is, she's not going to get in agreement with me. She's hoping I get in agreement with her, but whether I do or not, that's where she's going to be. Do you get that? It totally, you know, and I can be teasing with Maddie. We can be somewhere and I would say something and she will come back with, it's going to move quicker than ever. It's going to be, and I'll say, thanks a lot, Mom. And she'll start laughing because she knows it's true, because that's Kim's rep on that. You take the high road and I'll take the low road. And that I would, you know, and then I start realizing the truth in that is, so many times I don't even think about it. I'm taking the low road. And I think God, you know, I told Kim, I said, God loves short people because it says in the Bible, lo, I'm with you always. Oh, well. But it sets the pace and tone. But if you start out in doubt and fear, it's much harder to move to faith. Because sometimes when I have to jump over, I jump ship on the negative train, I got to jump to the good one, I have to recognize I was wrong. It's quiet. But it's true. I'm like, you're right. It's just much easier, and that helps things. I'm not perfect at it. I'm getting better. She could probably attest I'm getting better. Can't you? See? Yeah. So if I want to start out in the spirit realm. I want, Lord, let me say what you want me to say. Let me speak life to certain things, what we think about the matter. Did you know people, there's cases of people that when things happened that were tragic, they spoke life to somebody that had died and they came back to life because they spoke life. Come on, somebody. They didn't speak death and just, well, there's nothing I can do. We're not talking about, this is what we're talking about. He's already done it. I'm going to get underneath that and speak that. Because why? Because the authority he's given in you as a believer is to bring the light into dark places. I want my first words to match God's word and establish that image of a strong faith. If God says it, then it's done. With God, all things are possible to him who believes. Establish your faith stand up front. If you speak the faith words first, it'll keep you from being double-minded. The fact that she jumps on that first, not always, I mean, I'm gotten better, like I said, but what I'm saying is, she's not wrestling with what I'd be wrestling with because I already spoke what I thought. So now I got to break that and speak the right thing. But I want to be in the position, listen, to receive. Let me say it this way. If I'm in the line at the drive-thru and everybody pulls up to receive their food, I paid for the food, I'm going to pull up to the next window to get the food. If I pull clear to the right, about 12 feet, and say, just throw the bag. The chances of that hitting my window or me catching it are not very good. But if I'm in a position to receive because I've stayed in line, are you with me? It's real easy for them to take what I have perceived and spoken and get it into where it needs to be. James 1, 6 and 7, let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. You see, if we're double-minded, we get nothing. So, you might as well pick a side. Faith or fear from the beginning. You know, but you're like, you're not going to like what you get on the fear side. Pick the faith side. That's God's side. How about the Shunammite. Shunammite. This woman, the Shunammite woman, in 2 Kings 4, her child dies in her arms. She's facing that situation. Nobody wants to face that. I've already told you my situation. So she had to make an in-moment decision. She had to decide right then how to respond. Her natural, if she let her natural self take over, because we all have a natural self, we all have our five senses. You want to be ruled by your five senses? We've done that most of our lives. She could let her five senses take over. She'd broken down. She would probably wept. She'd probably planned a funeral then. There's nothing I can do. But she didn't do any of those things. Instead, she laid the child in the room. She got a donkey. And she headed off to see Elijah the prophet. And asked by her husband, why are you rushing off to see him? Instead of crying and stating the obvious, instead of saying what she sees, what she knows, what she felt, she says this: all is well. And you know how it ended for her? The child lived. He was raised from the dead. First words. They mean more than you want. When anybody asks her, all is well. Your mind wants to say, it's not well. But your spirit is what you got to let control now. All is well. Well, it doesn't look like we're going to have this or that. All is well. How are we going to pay? All is well. Because my job, his job is to get it well. And how he's going to do it, that's his job. My job is to believe and just to do what he's asked me to do. Everything's been done. I just submit to that authority. You get it? Now, if you're like, I'm not going to do anything God says, he's already done it. I get that, but I can't help you there because faith, you still have to put your faith in his kingdom. You still have to believe. And believing is going to take some kind of action. You might not think it does, but you can rest. Yes, I get resting because he's already done it. But you still have to be like, I have to fight the fight between my ears because that's where it's happening. I got to break those thoughts. I got to break them. I got to cast them down. You can take those, Jesus. I got to speak the word, and then I want to praise him. All is well. You fill up. So how do I do it, Brett? You fill up. You don't have to wait. This is what we do because we're in America. We wait till gas is we got to go to this one because it's $3 a gallon instead of $3.02 at the one across town or at the one in 30 miles away. We'll drive 30 miles to save 2 cents. There's people like, oh, I'm cutting this coupon because if I buy 12 of these, I get one free. But if you only need one, you just spent money on 11 you don't need. What if we just say, Lord, you tell me what to do. I'll rest in that because I don't have to do it. I'll just do what you say. My first words, I want it to be ones that'll just be like, yes. I remember praying for a student at camp one time. And there are people praying and these other students. I mean, it's not like we're like experts, but especially the students were really novice. And they were saying all kinds of things like that. And I remember the Lord said, use my name. And I was like, so I just said, in the name of Jesus. And as soon as I said his name, there was a party. I mean, things started happening and the kids were like, whoa! And I'm telling you what, in just a matter of seconds, that student was free. Now you can say, well, who cast him out? Well, I cast him out by the authority delegated to me from Jesus. But Jesus actually cast him out. But he used me to do it. So then there's the, well, I don't want to have to work. You need to get over yourself. You ain't all that in a bag of chips. You know, you'd be like, okay, Lord. See, the power of how we use what God gives us, it's incredible. When you're faced with some sort of crisis, I want the first words coming out of my mouth to be God's words. Not ones of panic, of doubt, and fear. Because it's not like you're a bad person, so please, I'm not condemning anyone. We've all done it. Mal, when she was little, she cut her foot on a porcelain doll, fell off her dresser, broke, and somehow she stepped on a piece of it, cut it. Kim hollered for me. I took Mal into the bathroom because her foot was bleeding really bad. She was how old? 5, 4, probably. And she's looking at me, and she's crying, and I turned the tub on, and I'm washing her foot off. And now listen, you know, Kim is behind me, and she's like, because all you can see is blood. And Mal is, and I told Mallory, I said, honey, you look at me. Look at Daddy. Look right now. Look at my eyes. And I said, you know what? We're going to get this fixed. It's going to be okay. Don't you worry about it. Daddy and Mommy, we're going to take you. We're going to get it fixed. You don't have to worry about it. It's all going to be okay. And she went from, to, because my first words were words of, you listen to me. Look at me. Because to her, I'm representing the Father. What's your first words going to be? How do we respond on those kind of things? You just say, God, what do you want me to do? There'd be times you have to stand up and say, that's it. Remember the drama the students did? Remember, Scott, I loved the way Scott played that part. He came from over here, and he comes over, and he points at Jesus like that, and then Cadence and Maddie, they're like, boom, you ain't coming any closer. Sometimes you got to tell the devil, that's it. You ain't coming any closer. I've let you in too long. We are done. And just a couple seconds after in that drama, music changed and they're like, okay, let's go. Let's get him out, because the enemy had already plotted stuff. Do you understand? There's a plot for your peace. But you can speak the word of God and disintegrate the enemy's plot. But you have to get filled up. Here's our last point. First words grant permission. Psalm 103:20. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of the word. Heeding the voice of the word. First words grant permission to either the blessing from God or you're letting the enemy come in and start doing whatever. Fear, doubt, unbelief. You see, your first words are the start button that sends things in motion. On your mark, get set. Brett, what happens if I said the wrong first words? Then break them. Father, I'm sorry. If I've said this wrong, Father, in Jesus' name, give me scripture. Let me say what you say. Do you know the angels are waiting to hear and they hearken to the word of God? Do you know that? Words are important. I want to set things in motion because they do, good or bad. I want it to be good. I was just telling Jay in the praise room, in the green room back there, I said, maybe I'm thinking it. Maybe Jay, wherever you're at. Okay. If I didn't say this, I'm saying it now. I declare things. I say things daily on my phone. I have declarations. But I got out of the habit. I mean, I still do them, but I used to do them every day. And then I was doing them like once or twice a week, and then I went like a week and a half. Listen to me. I'm not talking about a magic formula. What I'm talking about is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So what I'm declaring, they're all Bible scriptures. And then my declarations line up with those. And I declare things that I am believing God for, and I have scripture that goes with that. So, you know, and the Lord brought me to that and said, you know, it's not that you're not declaring, but you're not declaring. I'm just not, you know, so I didn't want to, now I'm back in practice. So now I've been reading those, because it only takes me just a few minutes. But it helps me to hear what I'm declaring. Faith comes by what? Hearing. By what? By hearing. So I want to hear in situations of what I'm faced against, what my first words will be. So I might put in a declaration. Say you have a mountain. What's the word that comes against that mountain? Then I would declare that, Father, in Jesus' name. I ask right now, and we declare, we send angels to our kid. God, you will send somebody that will share the word of God to them. Are you with me? Why? Because I believe it to be so. Because I spoke it, it's his word, it's his will, dispatched. I can see them, in my mind, I can see them going, yeah. Don't know that they do that, but you know. I'm on job. The devil has no rights to you except what you give him through your words. Faith is voice activated, so is unbelief. That's why Jesus said, and we've read it already, Matthew 12:37, by your words you'll be justified, your words you'll be condemned. When the kingdom of darkness attacks, and he will, because he hates you, your response can turn that around in no time, a lot quicker than if you just take on fear and doubt, and then you got to work yourself out of that. And that's where your works comes in. And Jesus already did it, so we're working against the grain. So, I mean, if I just rest and I don't have to beat, Jesus already beat the devil. He beat him ugly. So this is good. So because he did that, I'm going to rest in that. Tell me what to say. And that's what I'll say. Tell me what to, like when he said, you just use my name. Jesus. I mean, and so I got, if I went there and said Brett, they went, they didn't have to come out in the name of Brett. I didn't do anything. But Jesus did. He was the sacrifice. It was his blood that made all of this possible. 91:2 of Psalms says, I will say of the Lord. What are we going to say? What are we going to say? He's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. That's a statement of faith. And when you say things like that and you believe what you say, because it's in the word of God, you see deliverance. Things start changing. You've opened access to your life through your words. The kingdom begins to get unleashed in your life. Psalm 107:2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord what? Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So what is in your mouth today? What do you normally say? Oh, it figures. Well, they got the cold. We'll all get the cold. They've got the cold. We all might as well get it. Really? That's what you want to say? It's time we changed how we responded. I know I'm working on me. But you see, the enemy will respond to what you say because what you say, he said. What God said. Not the enemy. I'm going to respond what God said. I mean, isn't that so? Because if I do that, Jesus has already won. And so have you. If you take his stance, you just rest in him. What's your mountain today? What have you been saying about it? We'll never get out of debt. I'll never see this. I'll never live in that. Well, I'll never own anything like that. I'm not just talking about prosperity, but I'll never have peace and joy. I'm always. You're getting what you want. Let's change that. What does he say for you to say? That's what my first word wants to be. I want to say what he said. Because when I say what he said, things happen. Because I'm not coming in my own strength. I'm coming in his. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes?